Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, translation. O trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically those who are just about to die. Purport. In this verse, the king has placed two questions before the learned sages. The first question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second question is, what is the specific duty of one is to die, who is to die very shortly? Out of the two, the question related to the dying man is the most important, because everyone is a dying man, either very shortly or after 100 years. The duration of life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Sukadeva Goswami. Also on his arrival, and practically the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto up to the 12th canto, deals with these two questions. The conclusion arrived at thereof is that devotional service of the Lord Sri Krishna, it is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the last phrases of the Bhagavad Gita. And the last verses in the Bhagavad Gita is the last word in relation to everyone's permanent duty in life. Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on this conviction, so that they may be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. That's interesting, I'll repeat that line. But he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on this, on his conviction, so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. He has especially mentioned the word sudha, or perfectly correct. For transcendental realization or self-realization, many processes are recommended by various classes of philosophers. Some of them are first-class methods, and some of them are second-class, second or third-class methods. The first-class method demands that one must give up all other methods of surrender and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus be saved from all sins and their reactions. Om Dhyana Timrandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chakshorun Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kaupadrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanabheyo Vaishnavabheyo Namo Namaha. So, requesting all those here in the temple room and all those online hearing this wonderful verse and purport, confirming our duties for the rest of our lives, which we have to follow. And we can say this is like a sutra. It's telling us that actually we go for the first class method, that is surrender to the Supreme Lord. The last verses of Bhagavad Gita give up all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. So I remember Gogavinda Swami being asked the question about this, you know, all these methods that's spoken through the Bhagavad Gita, you know, karma, knowledge, you know, dhyana, and then sort of knowledge in its own right. Also, then we have deeper knowledge of the spirit soul and the body, you know. We're finding out, basically in a gradual process, that this process, he was asked, he says, why would Krishna go through all this? He says that actually, he says it all, but he's dealing with Arjuna, a person who's going through different stages of lamentation and needs reassurance, but also he's like going through classes, different classes, like a child in the school. He's not given advanced level to start off with, and Arjuna is hearing all this, and he's got so many questions and doubts, which have to be given consideration. So Krishna's answering these. But he says, ultimately, all this, he could have said, oh, just surrender to me at the beginning. Why not? Why go through all this? No, Arjuna is us. He's the person that's giving us a path to tread. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami speaks that the road to God is paved with thorns. And basically, it's a challenge for ourselves spiritually, because we have to realize that we're not the body. So we suffer the reactions of our past misdeeds, because our gross body and our subtle body under the modes of material nature. But we have to, as it says here, we have to arrive not at these different levels. He says the final duties. This is the conclusion, our duties. What to do at death? And it's the conclusion is now to go through to the purport. It says in this verse, the king has placed two questions to the learned sages. The first question is the duty of everyone in all circumstances. Well, this is a nice clarification, that we've been given a conclusion that we could say is giving to the sages. It's a deadline. That he's got 7 days, but also in that 7 days, he's been given time to meet a great sage who will elaborate on this journey of 7 days, and everyone is also fasting with them. Different levels of yogis and sages, they're all there. They may not be the yogis as we understand it, different classes of yogis, different classes of sages, but they're all there by the mercy of the Lord. He wants all classes of of yogis to hear this Bhagavatam. Whether they become purified or not, they may stick to their ways. That's true. But they've been brought together by the will of Krishna to hear the ultimate conclusions of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are talked about in this verse. Our duty is that somehow or other we have to find out this knowledge that reunites us with the Supreme Lord in yoga, the Supreme Yoga, bhakti, devotional service. So he says the first question, the duty for everyone in all circumstances, he gives it all persons. And the second question is a specific duty, who's one to die very shortly. So there are many people who may be listening to this class, and they may be in that boat. Actually, they're told there's nothing more we can do for you. That you're going to die soon. You're going to pass away from this world. So what do we have to do? And so out of the two questions relating to the dying man, is the most important is to everyone is a dying man. We don't know if we're going to be here today or tomorrow. And how long, or 100 years, as Prabhupada, he points it out. But that the duty of a dying man, that's all of us, we're all dying. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Sukadev Goswami, also on his arrival. And practically the whole Bhagavatam is beginning from the second canto up to the 12th canto. But what is an amazing thing? It's like a cry. What am I doing? What is my duty? It's like, and it says that if we cry to the Lord in desperation, in our suffering, in our pitiful condition, because and we have to realize our pitiful condition, that actually we're helpless, and that if we actually, as Guru Govinda Swami always says, this is a crying school. For the child crying for the mother, the mother knows what sort of crying is brings her immediate attention, or the crying that is I want attention, me, you're not giving me enough attention to the parent. Or if there's another cry, a cry of pain beyond the child's control, that's when mommy, desperation comes into the note of the voice. It's their helpless nature is crying out. And so what happens? The first thing that was given to Maharaj Parikshit, he was inquiring, he was trying to find out what was best for him in this situation. And he asked so many people different ways of, they were talking about knowledge, sacrifice. And so many answers coming. But in his desperation, as a devotee of the Lord, he was really addressing the points that somehow or other, in his regret for the incident with the sage, that he wanted full retribution. He wanted the Lord to punish him in some way, just to realize, and that he didn't want anybody else to suffer on his behalf. This was the interesting part. He says, I don't want my family to suffer or any of those. Just me. Let me take the reaction. And Prabhupada, in previous purport, he explains that actually in fourth coming too, that verses, that actually that his call was a totally unselfish call. He was saying, I'll take whatever you come. I don't want the reactions. Because he was also initiated himself. He felt that he'd wronged his spiritual master. You know, so he's crying out. He says, I don't want anybody connected with me to get any reaction. Just me. Take me. As you wish. And so he's a surrendered soul. And then he says, Maharaj, he placed the two questions, Sukadeva, on his arrival, and practically the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, from the beginning of the second canto up to the 12th canto, deals with these questions. The conclusion arrived at thereof is that devotional service of the Lord Krishna, as it is confirmed by the Lord himself in the last phases of Bhagavad Gita, is the last word to everyone's permanent duty in life. So that's interesting, isn't it? It's our permanent duty to Lord in all circumstances, in each moment, to surrender and say, what shall I do? What do you want me to do? And usually, to know what we want to do or what we have to do, it comes from authority. It comes from spiritual master, those around us who we are serving. And I'm not just talking about in devotional life, so-called, but in all aspects of our life, whether we're doing a job, whatever's happening to us, you know, that's for maintenance of our existence. That's service. We have been given prescribed duties in this world to perform. They're given to you, not by anybody else but Krishna. But we have to convert them with our consciousness. That actually Krishna has given me what I have now in all circumstances. And that this must be an act of devotion. The person that's with you, and Radhanath Swami says this, what is the thing that's most important, he's got to say, it's what you're doing now. That's the most important thing. Not the future, not the past. We're helpless with those things, past, future. But what you're doing now, or all of us, what we're doing now, is out of our, we're seeking knowledge, which is prescribed here, that to stop our dying, that again, in this world, to not come back to this world. And so it says, the conclusion thereof, devotional service to the Lord is confirmed by the Lord himself in the last phases of the Bhagavad Gita. It's the last word of everyone's permanent duty in life. So the sages there, he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on his conviction, so that he may be able to go on and with his confirmed duty without controversy. Now that's interesting. He wants their well wishes of everyone. His conviction is that we're all here. This is what I want to do. Please help me. I need your association to help me. I need your well wishes and blessings. Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nandakisha, Shri Shri Gornitai Kisha, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So, the sages assembled there unanimously give their verdict on his conviction, so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty. He wants them. He wants their their blessings. Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. So he especially mentioned sutta, perfectly correct. For transcendental realization and self-realization, many processes are recommended for various classes of philosophers. Some of them are first-class methods, and some of them are second-class and third-class methods. The first-class method demands that one give up all other methods and surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus be saved from the sins and their reactions. So, actually, Prabhupada's saying he wants them to benefit by hearing this. Though it's his questions and he's seeking the advice, he wants it for their sake as well. So it's like a call to arms, you could say. In a battle, a war is about to beginning. So he says, come on, let's, everybody here, please join in this war. That we have to be united. And so to clear the path. So I give you two quotes from Prabhupada. Prabhupada is especially succinct. And these two verses I've often quoted. But what do we do now? You know, having heard this, what is our duty in surrender? What does it mean? December 19th, letter to Jayapataka Swami. It's in the transcendental calendar here. The secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered devotee sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. Whatever I am meant to be doing, let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service. Never mind what it is. And that's interesting, isn't it? Somehow we have a mentality that quantifies the service that we do according to our own taste. But that's not so. He's saying, let me do it with my full attention. Forget your own considerations. Let all other considerations be forgotten. Never mind what it is. So we live in the moment of devotion. Let's live in that moment. And so let all other endeavors be forgotten. And my desire to do the thing best for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. Interesting. Kirtan, speaking for from Bhagavatam, whatever, is for his pleasure. You know, cooking is for his pleasure. That somehow or other, that he's the beneficiary in all circumstances. That his pleasure is our goal. And his pleasure is when we're serving each other, serving the devotees and serving him directly through the spiritual master and his instructions. So we have an avenue to tread. And so we don't have to worry. Whatever you're doing now, you're meant to be doing. So, but it's to please Krishna. So hear for Krishna. Your hearing is for Krishna's sake. Let him in. And then say to yourself after this, after hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can say, it won't just end at the class. You'll chew on it. Chew on it means like what you hear, you'll contemplate. That what did this tell me about myself and what this class's personal message is to each one of us. We have a personal message. So that's the surrender, but then there's one final conclusion, which really Prabhupada, it's in it's May 17th, bear with me, I'll turn to May 17th, and it's 1977. And it's very, very powerful. He says, and this is King Parachit. He's talking about the now. He's talking about his position. He says, Vrindavan, May 17, 1977. It's in his last days, Prabhupada. He says, if death takes place, let it take here. There is nothing to be said new. Whatever I have to speak, I have spoken in my books. Now you try to understand it and continue your endeavor. Whether I am present or not present, it doesn't matter. As Krishna is living eternally, similarly, the living being also lives eternally. But one who has done service to the Lord, he lives forever. That's interesting. So this living forever is come to us through Bhagavatam. King Parachit lives forever. His question, Sukadev Goswami, lives forever in our hearts. What they're telling us, their adventures, their sadness, their traumas, their difficulties, you know. So much suffering by great people. But the thing was, their character was not deviated. In other words, that their focus was to please Krishna and that those around them, the parts and parcels. So you've been taught to serve Krishna, he says. So one who has done service lives forever. So you have been taught to serve Krishna. And with Krishna, we'll live eternally. Our life is eternal. A temporary disappearance of this body doesn't matter. Body is meant for disappearance. It's so classic. This is what's happening here in Bhagavatam today. Body is meant for disappearance. So he says, so live forever by serving Krishna. And that's what King Parachit was doing. He was serving Krishna in his last days. He was asking the important questions for everyone else. He knew a message was important, but he knew it was important for all those who were listening. So he was doing it for their sake as well. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifice of himself and sacrifice for others. His situation, he wanted to help others. And so it's a very wonderful understanding. So if there's any questions or comments on this verse, because in the next verse, Sukadev comes. So he set the stage, he surrendered. But he didn't know Sukadev was coming. But his crying set it up. Krishna had to hear. Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the class. This is a question from Ben, who's listening online in isolation. He just asks, is it the performance of sacrifice or offering of the results that Krishna gets more pleasure from?
Well, the performance of sacrifice, when you're on book distribution, you start to realize it, actually. One day, you can do 100 books, so-called, you do, but actually, and then, or tomorrow, maybe one or two. What's happened? Now, if we pinned our hopes on our what we're doing on that day or had done that day in terms of trying to serve, and we become attached to the results of our things, you'll suffer. Oh, I didn't do this. This is not gone well. Oh, I did this. Both are false ego, actually. It's in Krishna's hands. Prabhupada gave the example. Book in hand, offering to somebody, they have money. Person thinks, Prabhupada gives this example. He says, I have this money in my pocket. Shall I go to the restaurant or shall I take this book? And it's then the super soul acts. Because he's the one that sells the book. And this person, he goes to the restaurant, he's not ready. He won't give it to him. He's controlled super by super soul as much as that. So he goes to the restaurant. Or he takes the book. That's Krishna too. So if we think whatever service we do is in our control, he says, and Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, don't be attached to the results of your activities. That's when you suffer. You'll suffer when you become attached to your activities. No, become attached to the service. That's the thing. You've got that service to do. Whether you're on book distribution all day and you do one book, or you're on book distribution and the hundreds of books are going out, you've given the service. You put yourself in that position as a servant of Krishna, an instrument. So it's not the results that really count. I don't know if it answers the question properly, but certainly that's my understanding that I can give as examples. Okay. Mataji, you got a microphone?
Thank you for the class. I have one question. In the purport, it is said the duration of life is immaterial. Would you mind to explain more what it means, that the duration of life is immaterial?
Yeah. Today or tomorrow when we go, what's the point? It doesn't matter. Because it's Krishna's will. It's in his hands, isn't it? He'll take us when he wants to. Or he could keep us around, you know. Like Prabhupada. He asked his disciples, "Do you want me to stay?" You know, they were, you know, and he was so emaciated. And they were in a state. They were in distress themselves. They were anxious. And he said, okay, so what do you want? We want you to stay, Prabhupada. Do you know what he said? He said, okay, I'll stay. Why? Though he couldn't stay. He knew Krishna would do it anyway, whatever. But in his last days, they were serving him. They were giving him service. It was for their sake. He knew he was helpless. He's not going to say to Krishna, look, they've asked me to stay. I've given them a sort of promise. No, he's done it in such a way that he's given them devotional service. Our goal is service. Nothing else. Nothing else. Not the results of it. Not what we want. Whatever comes we accept, as King Parikshit is doing, he accepted the curse. He wanted the full reaction. But at the same time, great things came from that. The greatest thing came from that. Krishna came again in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the age of Kali, when we needed him to stay, he stayed in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam so that we could share it with each other and preach to each other and support each other in our service. And we find out that's our harmony. But if you got to that point where you feel bereft of service, it's the mind will take over, the motor material nature definitely take over. I've found this in my situation several times now in this lifetime where I felt bereft of service. What do I do now? Is there any point for me to carry on? And the only point for me to carry on is what little bit of service is given by Krishna, not what I want. I have to accept it. It's taken away. So maybe there's another service I can do. I have to live it moment by moment. You know, this body's not lasting so well at the moment. It's struggling. So you make the best use of bad bargain. Whatever's given, you just do the best you can, what you got. For Krishna's alone pleasure. And that's what Srimati Radharani says, isn't it? Last verse of Shikshastakam. Aslisyava padam ratam binastuma madarshinam ma mahatam karatuva yatatata va vitatu lambato maparnas natas tu saeva napara. I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. Even if he handles me roughly, or he's not with me, or makes me, he's separate from me, or handles me roughly with his embrace. And that actually my happiness, or happiness and unhappiness, it doesn't matter. He's always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. If my unhappiness becomes his happiness, that's my happiness. You see, what he's trying to do, he's trying to get something out of us that we didn't think we had. What in our service, he's trying to get us to get every little bit of service, no matter what, no matter what circumstances. And it may be painful, it may not be painful, but take it. Take it as mercy. Different forms of mercy, happiness, distress. That's what Bhaktivinoda says. I've become supremely happy. I no longer belong to myself, because happiness and distress destroy ignorance. So whatever comes in my service, happiness or distress, ultimately, if it destroys my ignorance, that it is best for me. Yeah. So, sort of an answer for you. Yeah. Okay. I think we're past time. Is there anything crucial coming? Okay. Yes, certainly. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was wondering if you could quickly elaborate on the quote you read by Prabhupada. It said, one who performs devotional service lives forever.
Yeah.
And previously it said, the soul is eternal. So what's the difference between one who performs devotional service, how are they living forever?
Say again, can you? That last bit.
Yeah, so when one performs devotional service, how is it that they actually live forever, as opposed to...
It's never lost. Either? It's never lost. There's no loss or diminution. It carries on next lifetime. That's it, really. He says so in Bhagavad Gita. There's no loss or diminution. It saves you from the most dangerous type of fear, and that's repeated birth and death. Just that little bit of putting a nail in the wall. Like these workmen here, they're all doing service. working on Krishna's temple. Knowingly or unknowing, they're getting Sukriti from this. Pious credit and a connection with Krishna, because they're hearing about Krishna every day. And they're getting prasadam too. They have to make sure they get, you know, if you've got a little bit of shada, give it to the workers there. Do it. It's an opportunity. Don't lose it. Because it's in our possibilities. Yeah. You know, sometimes there's lots over. Fruits and stuff like that or whatever. Just give them to them. They take those little square sweets. They like them. So it's an opportunity, you know. But it's having the vision to look for it as well. Krishna, what can I do that's positive, you know? I'm spaced out. What do you want me to do? And there's always something to do. There's a bit of litter on the ground. Pick it up. Do it. Okay. Is anybody... I don't want to go too long beyond it, but it's during the week, so let's try.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you
not the weekend.
So it says here that Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, so he knew the answer to these questions, but he was still asking. So why is that? Why did he ask the sages anyway if he knew the answers, or like personally for himself?
No. He, in a way, what we do, we ask people. He doesn't necessarily know that that's not Sukadev Goswami there. So there are these sages are realized persons. So he's, you know, but Krishna sent Sukadev Goswami for a certain position of here. He's talking about dying. He says, I'm resolved to do it anyway. Whatever you say or do, Krishna, it's up to you. I can't do anything now. I'm in this position. I'm resolved to serve you in this way, and as best I can. He doesn't know the future, you see. He didn't know about Sukadev. But he had to come to that point of surrender. He's committed himself. And that's the same with us. We have to commit ourselves to what we're doing. That's what Prabhupada said. Let me do whatever we're doing with our full attention. Give your commitment. And Krishna will give you all help. That's for certain. That you need. So, you know, and call upon the acharyas to help you. Don't miss them out. Please, I'm stuck. And you just look at the pictures. Get their reassurance. Because just by looking at those pictures, it's good association. Just by looking at them, the deities, it's good association. It's service. You want to direct your senses like Ambarish, isn't it, Maharaj? Whatever he saw, you know, he did, you know. He did it as an act of service. It's each step he was doing a service. Whatever emotions he had, he had this vision that it's not for me. You know, I'm here. How can I change it? But Krishna will change it, and that's usually taking us away. You know. From the service or this world, or taking us out, you know, he takes, gives and takes away, and in that taking away, he's giving. But it just you just may not think takes away your false prestige, isn't it, Harry? He who takes away, isn't it? He takes away. He's given us what we desire. And then we suffer. If it's our material desire. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. I know better. The only person that knows better is the Supreme Lord and your authority, whoever they may be. Okay, finish now. Thank you for your question. Okay. Thank you, Srimad Bhavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Guru Maharaj Ki Jai, Nitai Gopri Manandi Hari Hari Bol.